Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. A quick note, I've had several people almost every week as I've done this show since the beginning of time, or the beginning of this show, I guess, people will ask me about the cars behind me, and they'll also ask about the microphones, and I can tell you the microphones very quickly. I am not a ham operator. I know a lot of ham guys point out that that's a common microphone used by amateur radio operators, but I worked in radio for a long time, and I liked the idea of radio, and I like microphones. I started collecting microphones a while ago. Not all of them are broadcast mics. In fact, the most common broadcast mic I use as a disc jockey is the one in front of me that's off camera. It's an Electro Voice RE20. But almost every day, someone asks me specifically, what's the deal with the cars? But every so often, maybe once a week, people will actually ask me about the particular cars. And the funniest thing of all is they quite often discussions break out among other people who watch my channel, among the viewers. And I saw a recent thread, and I don't always see the threads if they don't address me directly, but I saw this thread where somebody goes, hey, check it out. The guy's got two Plymouths, a Ford, and a Studebaker behind him. Now, that's completely 100% wrong. There's no Plymouths, no Fords, and no Studebakers behind me. And I chimed in and I identified the cars, said, no, here's what they are, boom, 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 left to right. And the person responded and said, no, you've got two of those wrong, and then corrected me. And I responded back and said, no, I assure you. I know. Not only do I own the cars, and did I put the cars there, and I bought the cars, and I actually have the boxes the cars came in that identify them, but I've written books about all these cars. That's why the cars are there. So I'll give you an example. And by the way, I'm going to talk to you right now, explain to you why these cars are there and why they're so special to me. So for instance, this car right here is the model of a Chrysler Turbine car. And I've mentioned before several times that I wrote a book about the Chrysler Turbine car project. Chrysler built a fleet of jet-powered cars in the 1960s. They built 50 of these cars. They lent them to the public as part of a big publicity stunt. They actually built 55, if you want to get technical about it. And then later on, they destroyed 46 of them. 9 of them still remain. Jay Leno owns one. And I wrote a book about the Chrysler Turbine car project. So somewhere along the line, after I wrote that book, or maybe somewhere along the line, I actually got one of the Turbine cars. And in fact, as some people have noticed, down here below is a Turbine car Hot Wheel. Okay, Chrysler Turbine car Hot Wheel. And underneath that, in front of the I Believe in Music, is a box containing a Chrysler Turbine car model. This is a plastic model of the Chrysler Corporation Turbine car, or the experimental Chrysler Corporation Turbine car. And it's got all kinds of really cool stuff on the box. And inside, like I said, there is a plastic model, but it's smaller than this because obviously this wouldn't fit in the box. But this is a plastic model that Chrysler built back in the day as a publicity, as part of the publicity push. And then, of course, there's the Hot Wheels car that I'm sure they licensed. And then, of course, this is the die-cast model that I've had back behind me for some time now. But when I tell you it is a Turbine car, you should believe me, because I actually know. And not only do I know about Turbine cars quite a bit, I've actually driven two of them. And I've mentioned that before here probably several times as well. So I assure you that is, in fact, a Chrysler Turbine car. And I will, by the way, I'll straighten these out. I know there's people in the audience who don't like when I move things behind me and don't put them back exactly as I found them. So the Chrysler Turbine car, of course, was one of my favorite things to write about. And I also wrote a book about Preston Tucker. And Preston Tucker, of course, built an automobile called the Tucker 48. And the interesting thing about the Tucker 48, there's several things interesting about it. Not the least of which is that there's an engine in the back. And I think this trunk. Yeah, there we go. An engine in the back. Rear engine, rear wheel drive. And so the luggage, what's that doing in there? The luggage would go in the front, and yes, there is luggage up here, because that's a set of Tucker luggage, okay? And then, of course, the spare tire is up here. And there were 51 of these that got built. That's generally the number we accept. 47 of them, as far as we know, are still around. We know what happened to the other ones. And I know a lot about these because, of course, I wrote a book about them. And so, for instance, this is not called a Tucker Torpedo. That was one of the names that they discussed calling the car, but they decided not to. It was simply called a Tucker 48, the apostrophe 48, meaning the year 1948. That was the model year the car came out. And, of course, the production model had what we call suicide doors. If you see the prototype, the Tin Goose, it has regular doors. But one of the reasons they did that, of course, was to It allowed them to make a symmetrical B pillar. It's another story altogether. But again, I wrote a book about these, and I've seen quite a few of them. In fact, I saw another one last week I had never seen before. I saw number 50 at a friend of mine's place. And so very, very cool cars. I wrote a book about them, of course, and so that is, in fact, a Tucker. It is not a Studebaker, trust me. And I've had quite a few people who think it's a Studebaker, but I think it's mainly because they're just kind of they're kind of going off the era or the look of the car, you know, from that era, that, you know, post-war era. And I can kind of see that, but trust me, not a Studebaker. So then behind me are the other two cars, the winged cars. And there's one of each. Now, the Dodge Daytona is one of my favorite cars of all time also. And again, not only do I love these cars, I wrote a book about it, okay? So when I tell you this is a Dodge Daytona, you should believe me. Now, the weird thing is that I had a guy argue, saying, no, that's a Superbird, Plymouth Superbird. Well, there's actually a Dodge Daytona and a Plymouth Superbird. See, there's two different cars. Now, they're both Chryslers. But the way you can tell them apart, if you actually need help on this, is that the wing on the Daytona stands more upright. The nose cone is a little shorter. And from the factory, the Daytona had no vinyl top, but the Superbird did from the factory. But the racing versions of these cars would get confusing because they generally didn't put a vinyl top on a race car. Now, if you saw the number 6 that got raced a few years, it was a winged car, but it had what appeared to be a vinyl top with the way the car's painted. But that's just one of those things they did to make the car look different. But in case you're curious what the story is behind this car, at 1968, Chrysler put the Charger, Dodge Charger out, and of course they put the Roadrunner out in the Plymouth division. And the cars did okay, but not as well as they would have liked. And when they realized that they had gotten as far as they could with horsepower, they decided to go with aerodynamics. So they brought in some rocket scientists and said, what would you guys do? And of course, rocket scientists said, oh, put a nose cone on it, maybe a big old wing out back, and we'll take the cars, sell them to the public, and then what that allows them to do is, if you sold enough of the cars to the public, you could call it a stock car and take it racing. So this, of course, is the number 71 Daytona, covered a little bit of dust, but raced by Bobby Isaac in late 1969 and then in 1970. First appeared at Talladega in the fall of 69, ran all through 70, and then in 1971, NASCAR passed some rules that, in essence, ruled these cars to be illegal. They no longer could race. There was one entry in the Daytona 500 or the Daytona series in February of 1971, but the car did okay, but it had problems. But we never saw that happen again because of the new rules. So the interesting thing about this car, I wrote a book about Bobby Isaac also, but it's out of print. But I've actually driven the actual car that this model is based on. And it's down in a museum in Alabama. Very, very cool car. And Bobby Isaac was a fascinating character. And I've also always loved these cars because this is really the last of the cars in NASCAR where you could go to the store, a dealership, and buy a car that was very, very similar to what was being raced on the tracks. And many of these cars, although they weren't literally done that way, for instance, this car here would have been shipped as a body in white from Dodge to a place called Nichols Engineering. Nichols Engineering would then brace up the frame and do some other basic stuff to make it race-worthy, and then it would get sold to K&K Racing, which is the team that owned the car. Harry Hyde would do his magic on it as the crew chief, and then Bobby Isaac would drive it. And this car, after it was campaigned, and they actually had a couple wing cars, but after the campaign of 1970, Bobby Isaac and his guys took a car, Dodge Daytona Charger, out to the Bonneville Salt Flats and set a bunch of world records in it. And so the car is actually a very, very cool piece of automotive history. But yeah, this is a Dodge, not a Plymouth. And so the Superbird, like Richard Petty raced in a Superbird. And I'll show you some cool footage there because I actually had an opportunity to go for a ride in Richard Petty's Superbird. I didn't get to drive it, but I got to sit on the floor of it as it did laps at the Atlanta Motor Speedway a couple years ago. So I've mentioned before, I've got one of the coolest jobs on earth because somehow, as I'm doing all my other stuff, I managed to get opportunities to do things like drive turbine cars and race in winged cars, and along the way meet people who own these cars, like Jay Leno and so on. So again, in case you're curious, looking at these cars from left to right, you have a Chrysler turbine car, okay? Not Dodge Plymouth, Chrysler turbine car. You have the NASCAR version of the Dodge Charger Daytona, model year 1969. Same thing here, Dodge Charger Daytona, 1969, but the street version. And then here we have the Tucker 48, not a Tucker Torpedo, Tucker 48. So those are the four cars behind me. That should end the argument, but I know it won't. Questions or comments, put them below. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.